Sportscast November 8th, 2019. If you haven't yet, please subscribe on all our channels: YouTube, Facebook, Periscope, and iTunes. And if you're on iTunes, please leave a rating and review. Hit subscribe on YouTube. Hit a like on Facebook page. Share this video. And, of course, visit us on thesportscast.net for the latest and greatest in news, in sports news. Jake Fromm was a little late to the after party. He was in the third and final wave of Georgia players leaping into the stands at the world's largest outdoor cocktail party. It was a fitting spot for Fromm, considering how effective he's been on third down against Florida. Fromm threw for 279 yards and two touchdowns, including a 52-yarder to an uncovered Lawrence Cager in the fourth quarter. And the number 8 Bulldogs beat the 6th-ranked Gators 24-17 on Saturday. And to join us to talk to us a little bit about Florida Gator football, Ryan Krista, welcome back.
Santiago, good to have you. Ready for another epic weekend of college football coming up.
After this loss against Georgia, do you think this is the end of their season?
Well, it's not the end of the season, but it's, you know, there's, you know, where we've come from and where we're going. You know, Santiago, 2 years ago, the Gators won 4 games. So, you know, winning 9 games in a regular season, 10 games overall last year was a step up. You know, and we have a good chance to get to 10 games in the regular season this year if we win out at the playoffs out of sight, probably. You know, and there's still some chance, you know, Georgia loses 2 out of the next 3 games, you know, and we could still make the SEC championship game. So there's still that to play for, you know. Yeah. And that's kind of the issue we got in college football is, you know, if you're not in the playoffs, it doesn't matter. But, you know, there's still a lot to play for. As you know, the importance of these last 3 games, you know, are great, you know. Especially if you want to go out and style and you want to leave, you know, foundation for next year, you know. Will the team be loaded up for next year? Yeah. But, you know, there's still a lot of returning players and there's a lot of chance for younger players to get in some games, you know. Especially they haven't gotten a lot of games this year with the new redshirt rule. So there's definitely a lot to see in the next 3 games for sure.
Florida Gators only lost by a touchdown. What did you think about their performance against Georgia?
It was, you know, the first half, you know, it was rough. We really, offensively, you know, they couldn't get any traction. You know, they're couldn't get a consistent drive going other than one drive towards the end of the half. And defensively, couldn't get off the field on third down. And really, that was the difference in the game. Georgia was 12 for 18 on third downs, but Florida was 2 for 9. In the second half, when Florida's offense got going, you know, they moved the ball pretty handily up the field. You know, Ben Mullen said the best. Georgia had 8 possessions. We had 7 possessions. You know, if we get an extra possession in the game, maybe we tie it. But, you know, PA played 2 whole halves, and I think Florida played 1 good half and 1 okay half.
Kyle Trax had 257 yards. Lamical Perrine had 31 yards of rushing. Not much there in the receiving end. Freddie Swain had 91 yards.
Yeah, you know, first it's kind of the first half, you know, what offense they were getting was from Kyle Pitts, the tight end. You know, he had, I think, all 4 of his receptions in the first half, while Freddie Swain had 7 out of his 8 receptions in the second half. And really, he's always, since, you know, those have been Kyle Trask safety blankets, you know, since he was kind of starting quarterback is Kyle Pitts. And there's no difference in this game, you know, both of them came up with catches to keep drives going.
The college football playoff poll came out this past week, the first one, and Florida's number 10. Georgia went to 6. Are you pretty happy that they're at 10th rather than them being lower?
I think 10 is fair. I actually thought they might be ahead of the Pac-12 teams because I think Florida still got better wins than Utah and Oregon. But in the end, you know, the committee looked at 2 losses and they thought 1 loss with a worse schedule was better than 2 losses with a better schedule.
Do you think What is the path Florida has to get back into the to the top four?
This year, I mean, it's a long shot. You know, craziness has got to happen. Some unusual outcomes. You know, they would have to win out. You know, Georgia would have to lose two games so they could get into the SEC East Championship, and then they would have to, you know, win that. You know, if they get in the SEC Championship, you know, there is a chance there. You know, I say Auburn 2 years ago, Santiago, when they played Georgia, they had were just coming off of beating Georgia and Alabama at the end of the season. If they would have beaten Georgia in the SEC Championship game, they would have got to the playoffs. Instead, Georgia beats them, which opens up a spot for Alabama, who they had just beaten, to get into the playoffs. And, you know, we all know that's when Georgia and Alabama played in the championship and Tua came on and won the game. So it's a slam, yes. You know, I mean, you got to have Ohio State and probably have to lose, you know, a game, if not two games. Penn State, you know, craziness, Andy. Like I said, you know, am I looking at the playoffs? No, I'm just enjoy watching the Gators play, you know, and that's what we have to look forward to. You know, they got a shot at the nearest 6-4 if they stay, you know. In fact, they got a game against Vanderbilt, and then next week, you know, they play Missouri, a team they haven't beaten in a couple of years. So that's going to be tough, and it'll be good, you know, to kind of check that off the box. This program is growing under Dan Mullen, you know. It's the first year in times that they don't move. You know, I look at it in that game, you know, Floyd gets the ball down 24-10, you know, with 10 minutes exactly on the clock, and it takes them 6.5 minutes to drive, you know, and it's, you know, yes, they're moving the ball down the field, but at the same time, it just takes forever, you know, and you want that. Well, Dan Mullen is a great play call. It's a very deliberate, you know, slow compared to what a lot of teams are doing on offense. But, you know, I think, you know, as, you know, everybody gets more comfortable with the offense. It's about Kyle Trask, as long as they'll be a starter next year. I think this offense will be even more efficient next year. And the schedule, I think, will be a lot easier for Florida next year. You know, yes, they play LSU, but LSU will be home. You know, their West games aren't as challenging. So, you know, I think there's definitely a lot of positives, you know, if they can keep going for next year.
Looking ahead at Georgia's schedule, which you need, I think, one loss or maybe two losses, I think.
Because we lose a tiebreaker to them, you know, so.
They got Missouri, they got Auburn, and they got Texas A&M and Georgia Tech. That's not an easy schedule.
No, I mean, well, the Georgia Tech game doesn't really matter to Florida because that's a non-conference game, but you got to look at, you know, they got Texas A&M. Granted, it's at home. I think, you know, they should win. But, I mean, you're probably looking at Auburn. I think Auburn will have a very good chance of beating them, you know, towards the end of the season. So they really will probably come down to, if they do lose Auburn, that Texas A&M game to solidify their spot in the SEC championship game.
Yeah, definitely. I could definitely see the Auburn match a little bit in favor for Florida. We'll see with Missouri and Texas A&M. They might be trap games. I really think they could be a trap game. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I'm not, you know, Missouri, they're playing that at home. So I don't think that will be something that Georgia will have to worry about. They should. As long as they don't look ahead, they should be good for that game. But, you know, I'm kind of circling the two chances. I think that fight they'll lose will be the Auburn on the road and Texas A&M at home. So, you know, yes, it's not an easy schedule, but it's something they could probably manage. Granted that they got kind of one game comfort, but, you know, that one loss, even if they go to the SEC championship game, that could knock them out of the playoffs. So they're going to look to go undefeated. Kind of stay in the playoff race.
I think there's a possibility, maybe a 20% chance, maybe a little bit higher, but I really think Florida has a chance. Obviously, got to depend on Auburn and maybe Texas A&M, but, well, we'll see where the cards fall. Looking at the rest of the poll, we got Ohio State, number one, number two, LSU, three, Alabama, then Penn State. Do you agree with those top four right now?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think what you're looking at the first poll is to see how what the committee thinks is important, and that's what you kind of got in that schedule. You know, I think they're really, you know, valuing the teams that you played and how you played against them. See, I think, you know, you got Clemson number five. Do I think Clemson might be still the best team in college football. But, you know, beginning of the season, they were winning, but it wasn't the way we thought they should have. And the ACC is not very good compared to the rest of the Power Five conferences, so they're getting a little punished. But I think at the same time, if they win out, there's no way this team doesn't go to the playoffs. So they're kind of setting that precedent. You know, they're saying Penn State had a better strength of schedule, and they, you know, beating Michigan and Pittsburgh. And then, you know, there's kind of a coin flip when you're talking about LSU and Alabama and Ohio State. They're all, you know, you're splitting hairs. We all know that, you know, they're the three best teams right now. You know, complete body of work. That all's going to settle. You know, whoever loses tomorrow between LSU and Alabama is going to be knocked out of the top four. But, you know, the winner is kind of in the driver's seat to make the playoffs. Nothing loser isn't necessarily out, but it's going to be a little bit harder because then there's a good chance that team isn't going to go to the SEC championship game, and then you don't control your own destiny.
Looking ahead for this weekend for the Florida Gators, they play Vanderbilt. Gators are going to try to bounce back, you know, and this is a great game for them to bounce back. What are your expectations for Vanderbilt?
It'd just be nice to see them not struggle, you know, just to, you know, from kickoff to final play, you know, that they just, you know, control the game, don't give Vanderbilt a chance. And that, you know, last year they were down by 10 points in the second half of Vanderbilt and had to rally to win. You know, coming off that Georgia game last year, they lost the game right after that. Missouri, you know, I don't think Vanderbilt has the capabilities to beat us, but they definitely have the capabilities to keep up with us. So I just like to see Florida just dominate and just make people forget about last week, you know, and kind of set the tone for the rest of the season.
Vanderbilt is in the SEC East. They're 2-6. They've obviously is not the best team in the SEC East at all. And they're in Tennessee and Nashville, so you know it's gonna be not an interesting game. More like let's look for a 48-7 blowout, right?
You know, Vanderbilt's interesting. You know, about a month ago they lost to a very very weak UNLV team by a lot. You know, which kind of was like, oh, you know, a bad Mountain West team coming to the SEC. I don't care who it is, and they just torch them. Then they go out the next week, and you know, they beat Missouri, who was on a 5-game winning streak. And you're like, okay, well, you can't take them lightly, you know. But it's at home. New kickoffs are weird in Santiago in college football because, you know, your home crowd isn't necessarily, you know, amped up, excited. It's a little sleepy. So then that kind of favors the road team because your road team, no matter what, is always going to be jacked, you know, but the home team might not have that extra energy that the crowd gets. So yeah, that's what I'm looking for. I want to see Florida just say, I don't care if this game's at noon. I don't care if the swamp is half full, which it may be at the beginning of the game. You know, just go out there and crush Vanderbilt. Something, you know, they've struggled with at times, you know, even, you know, in the last 10 years, they lost them a couple of times. So, you know, you just want to go and say, I don't care what happened last week. It's done. It's over. You know, I don't care if, you know, our chances are slim at the playoffs. We're a really good football team, and we're going to show it.
The last time Vanderbilt won in Gainesville was 1988. So there's a good chance that Florida might win this game and a good chance.
I think it was not that long. It was when James Franklin was the coach. I was
2013. My bad.
Yeah.
But
say, yeah.
But in Gainesville itself, I think it was 88.
The time before that, you know, that 2013 team was led by one Aaron Rodgers' younger brother, Jordan Rodgers. maybe more famous for his time on The Bachelor, but.
Also, this weekend, you might have heard about this game, LSU Alabama. What are your thoughts about this? And can Alabama afford a loss?
No one can afford a loss in November. It's funny, you can lose in September and October and people forgive you, but you lose in November and it's like the world is ending,
You're gritted, yeah, you're gritted a little harder.
Exactly. And this is a game I've, all eyes are on Tuscaloosa tomorrow. I mean, when's the last time a sitting president's gone to a regular season college football game?
I don't
Santiago.
recall. Well, Navy versus Army, but this type of caliber game, definitely
Yeah,
haven't seen anything like
a
it.
game that doesn't involve, yes, the U.S. military academies. I could think about this game for hours, Santiago. I don't know. Both teams usually come in with defensive led teams, but both teams, if we think about them, are both offensive-minded teams that can score in the 40s easy. Factors in this game is how healthy is Tua. I'd have no doubt he'll play, and he'll play the whole game unless he isn't, unless he gets injured more. Because I feel like 75-80% of Tua is better than 100% of Mac Jones. No offense to him, and I think Mac Jones will be a good quarterback. But Tua's Tua, and he runs this offense beautifully, and they got those wide receivers, and I just don't think LSU can cover them. In the same regard, I don't think Alabama can cover LSU's wideouts in the way Joe Burrow is playing. This game will go a long ways into deciding who's going to be the Heisman Trophy candidate, between Joe Burrow and Tua Tagovailoa.
Who do you think is number one right now in the Heisman running?
Right now, going to game is Joe Burrow, for sure.
Now with this whole Chase Young getting suspended today, do you think that will affect his chances?
Because he's not really, he's not going to miss a game that's going to be, Maryland, the team, they're 44-point favorites. So I think, when you can control the news, and this is a control of the news that, I feel like they picked the, next week they're playing Rutgers. So even if he's got to sit out another week, you're not going to miss them. Is it going to hurt his Heisman chances? Probably, because those are two games he kind of probably racked up a lot of stats against, But there's no. You can't take back what you've seen in the last couple of weeks. He's been great, against Michigan State, Wisconsin, he's a one-man wrecking crew. And I want to put it past Santiago if this issue does drag out another week or two. And we saw, his fellow teammate do this last year, Bosa, just sit out the rest of the year because he's made a name for himself, and he's going to be one of two or three picks in the draft next year, so why go back and risk it if you just, he'll use it as saying, I don't want to be a distraction to my team. I definitely do think he'll be back, but I wouldn't rule him out just pulling out of the season totally.
Yeah, something to definitely look at. Last year, Nick Bosa left the season early due to a back injury, but he got drafted number two by the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah. The other thing, I'd love to see one day is both the brothers playing on the same team. Wouldn't that be great? They're both
That would be awesome.
fantastic.
What is the possibility for that?
It takes either the Chargers or the 49ers. I don't think either team is wanting to get rid of their players, so it's going to take a crazy package, to put together. So, I mean, I don't think they'll stay any in the next 5 years. Later on in their careers, it'd be nice to see.
Yeah. On to the NFL. The Denver Broncos defeated the Cleveland Browns 24-19. Brennan Allen, his debut, had 193 yards, two touchdowns. Are you feeling confident with this Broncos now with Brennan Allen?
No, but it was a nice victory. The way I look at this game is the Browns have so much talent, and they were a much better roster than the Broncos. They just have terrible coaching. They have execution is, not great. They make time untimely, you know, turnovers. They kind of just let the Broncos hang around, you know, and to win the game. You know, Brandon Allen was good. He wasn't great, but he was good enough. He made a couple of nice plays to win the game. And that's what you're going to need, you know. They pretty much got to go win out the rest of the season and make the playoffs and get out of the way it looks, you know, the six losses. So that's highly unlikely, you know. I think trying to get to 8-8 is probably their best bet right now. I mean, as soon as Drew Lock's able to play Santiago, he's going to be a starter for the Broncos. So Brandon Allen's just kind of riding the ship out, you know, until Drew Lock's healthy enough to play.
They're next, they have a bye week this weekend, and then they have the Vikings. Do you think that's a winnable game for the Broncos?
Yeah, I don't, you know, like, the Vikings are the Vikings. They're, you know, they play hard-nosed defense, you know, and they got a balanced attack and offense. But they're not a team that necessarily scares you, you know. Denver played, you know, I think the team's almost as good. In the Packers early in the season, they went up there and went score for score with them. So I figure, you know, this is not an easy game, but I think it's definitely a winnable game. You know, if they win, then, you know, you're basically, you play another week, you know, until the seventh loss probably one hits them from the playoffs. So, you know, I think they got that going and you're kind of playing a playoff game every week. So
quite interesting. The Broncos, you know, they're a team of championship caliber. But of course, we'll see what happens.
You know, Santiago, I'll just say this about the Broncos. I think Vic Fangio's made some bad coaching moves for the Broncos, but what he has done with Broncos, he's really tightened up this defense. You know, is Von Miller having a bad year? Yes, but overall, he's taking, you know, an average amount of talent, and you know, Broncos are, you know, top five defense right now in the NFL, points and yards. You know, keeping this team in a lot of games. You know, unfortunately, they can't get the big stops at the end of the game. That's why the Broncos have lost their games in the last minute. But, you know, a lot of those games, they wouldn't have had a chance if the defense didn't play well. So, a little disappointing that Von Miller is kind of taking a step back. But overall, you know, some of these players, you know, making a name for themselves for the Broncos.
Something to definitely look at, you know, the Broncos. Are 3-6. Last night, the Raiders beat the Chargers. I guess the Raiders are in the running for the wild card spot, aren't they?
Absolutely, 5-4. Santiago, they're right there. That was, you know, I wanted to say elimination game, but almost like a, you know, because right now the Chargers are 4-6, so it's going to be again hard for them to stay in the play. You know, they're kind of the same boat as the Broncos are, so. They're not, you know, they can't afford any more losses. I just don't think they're a very good team right now. But the Raiders, they just, you know, John Gruden's kind of got the magic touch this year. I think that whole Antonio Brown situation, you know, it was either going to go one or two ways. And I think getting rid of him before the season was getting rid of a distraction to really help his team. And they're not overly talented, but they play hard. And I think that, you know, Mike Mayock, the new GM, has made a lot of good choices with their putting his team together.
Anything else before we head into game predictions?
You know, NFL-wise, I think it was just a really, you know, Sunday night's game was very entertaining between the Patriots and Ravens. But that first, you hardly ever see Bill Belichick, you know, rendered useless in that first quarter. You know, it seemed like he had no way of stopping Lamar Jackson. I think without a fumble from the Ravens, that game would have been an extreme blowout. But, you know, it was interesting to see, you know, how hard the Patriots had a hard time stopping that running attack of Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. So it'll be, you know, interesting thing about the playoffs is, you know, when this matchup comes back again, if it does, what adjustments that Bill Belichick will make.
And it will be played in Gillette Stadium, probably.
Yeah, and that's a big difference. But this type of football travels in the wintertime, Santiago, and I think that's why maybe they're not championship caliber right now, the Ravens, but this is, you know, they're building something special.
Something's going on. Harbaugh is still there, and his performance still performance of magic. And letting go of Flacco it could have been a good idea. We'll see what happens.
Just eliminating a distraction, you know. I think when Joe Flacco's sitting over there and Lamar Jackson have a bad game, you know, the clamoring is, put Joe in, you know. Well, that's what happened in the playoffs last year. You know, he struggled and the crowd pounding Joe, you know. Well, now, you know, he's got a bad game. There's just, okay, he's going to make up for it next week. Because, you know, the backup right now is RG3, and I think there's a big difference between Lamar Jackson right now and RG3.
Let's start doing some game predictions. First game, Florida State at Boston College.
First game since the firing of Willie Taggart. You know, so we'll see how the type of mentality that, you know, the Seminoles have for the rest of the year. Boston College coming off of 651 yards of total offense against the Syracuse Orange last week. I'm going to go with Boston College in this game.
BC wins. Tennessee at Kentucky.
It's hard for me to pick Kentucky because they're literally playing with the wide receiver quarterback right now because of injuries. And I think Tennessee has probably made one of the biggest changes from the beginning of the season to right now. You know, they're playing hard. They're playing well. So I'm going to go to Tennessee.
Tennessee wins. Missouri at Georgia.
I think we talked about this earlier. I think this is just I think Kelly Bryant, if he does play, he's not going to be 100%. So I'm going to say the Bulldogs roll in this game.
Bulldogs. Iowa State at Oklahoma.
Oklahoma trying to get revenge from Iowa State coming there 2 years ago and ruining a perfect season. And I think they do. They got bounced back after a loss to Kansas State. So I think it'll be a good game, but I just think Oklahoma is just a little bit better of a team.
Kansas State at Texas.
And aforementioned Kansas State, who's, you know, coming off beating Oklahoma and their rival Kansas, playing against a team we thought was going to be a title contender in Texas this year, who's really taking a step back. I'm going to go Kansas State in this game.
Kansas State, interesting. Notre Dame at Duke.
Notre Dame barely beating Virginia Tech last week at home. That's going the road to Wallace Wade Outdoor Football Stadium against David Cutcliffe. I'm going to say Notre Dame gets back on track with a good sign victory this week.
Penn State at Minnesota.
Showdown number one. You know, this. I've never seen a game of 2-8. You know, 2-0 teams get less publicity than this game, Santiago. I think Minnesota, you know, with their coach P.J. Fleck, who just got a monster extension, comes and plays a great game. I just feel like they're going to fall a couple points short, and I think Penn State wins this game by 3.
Penn State wins on the road. And the mother of all games, the number 2 LSU versus the number 3 Alabama.
Going back and forth, but I think this is the year that LSU will beat the Tide in Tuscaloosa. It's been a long time. Since then, you know, the last time LSU won there is 96. I'm thinking somewhere around 49-46 in this game because I think offenses will dominate this game.
49-46. Do you think if Mac Jones? Well, you said it already. Like, with 100% Mac Jones, it's not enough for Alabama to win.
No, if Mac Jones plays, and there's nothing against Mac Jones, and I think he would do fine, and I think he's got enough weapons that they'll be able to score points. I just don't think they'll score enough points to keep up with LSU. But Tua's in there, you know, you just got to give those frisbee-catching dogs that Alabama's got at wideouts a chance, you know. I don't think we've ever seen wideouts. This talented a wideout group as Alabama has. I just think Joe Burrow is a hard guy to beat. He's just gritty, and I think he's just going to make one more play than Tua.
And random question, who should coach the FSU football team next season?
Well, who do I want to coach? I would love to see Deion Sanders coach Santiago. I think that'd be the biggest dumpster fire, and being a Gators fan, that would bring me no more joy than that. But who they should hire, I think, me and Tyler are both in the grant. It should be Mike Norvell, their football coach. what he's done in Memphis, you know, he's, you know, turned a good team into a great team consistently every year. His offenses are good, you know. He's got positive energy all the time, you know, and I think he'll be a difference in that program, and that's what you need, because I think he'll bring stability that they just haven't had in a while in Tallahassee.
Deion Sanders is actually winning in the poll by with 50%, then Mike Norvell with 25%, and then James Andrew Leonard, 17%, and James Franklin with 8%.
I think we just call him Jim Leonard there, Santiago, but Jim Leonard is interesting, you know, because of Wisconsin's known, you know, to produce a lot of great defensive coordinators. You know, you think of Justin Wilcox, Dave Aranda, you know, they've lost a lot of great coordinators. I wouldn't be surprised if Jim Leonard goes somewhere else to become a defensive coordinator, but if Deion Sanders becomes a head coach, I feel like that's just for publicity. You know, this is a university and team that's struggling to put, you know, fans in the seats. You know, if you look at some of those attendance numbers this year, San Diego, they've been poor. So they're, you know, looking to make a big splash, and that's really what that would be, you know, nothing more than that. But I just think they would just be smarter than hire a guy who's never coached a college team at all.
He's only coached a Pro Bowl team.
Yeah, literally. And I think high school, his son's high school team was nothing against that. But, you know, there was talks about, you know, Deion becoming the defensive or secondary coach this year or last year, and it just didn't work out. They're really, with his son being recruited to the Seminoles. But I just don't see any positive bringing him in as a coach tonight. But I guess you never know. And nothing ever surprises me, Santiago.
Nothing is impossible in this world, and Deion Sanders could be a coach. But I would rather have him be a offensive coach or a defensive coach at first. Ryan, how can people reach you to talk to you about Jake Fromm?
don't want to hear about Jake Fromm anymore, Cindy. I'll talk to you about Kyle Trask. But
how about Daniel Jones?
Daniel Jones, he was doing good until that cat came out on the field the other day. But probably the best way is Twitter on the Mad Dog Report 18, you know, or catch me on the sportscast here. But, a huge weekend of college football coming up, Santiago. November, you know, we'll decide, you know, a lot, who's going to the playoffs and who's not. You know, we've kind of had our appetizer. Now, this is really the main entree, Santiago. You know, it's things that, you know, really we talked about the years really aren't in it, but it doesn't matter when you love college football. You just love to watch great games, and this is what we'll get to do for the next month.
And there you have it. You can follow us on thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net, or on Twitter on thesportscast1.
Hey, before we go, you know, I got to give a shout-out to our Liberty's very own Buckshot Calver for setting the school record in passing yards in practically one half of football, Santiago, 471 yards against UMass.
That's quite incredible. So far, there has been rumors about Frazee linked to other schools for other jobs. Do you think he'll stay another year, or do you think he might move on to a bigger school?
It's kind of a question, you know. I don't think he's long-term for the job. He owes, I think, a lot to the university for giving him a chance to be a head coach, and I think it would just be a bad look if he left after 1 year. I still don't think any major university is giving him a job, head coaching job, and I think he would leave for being a coordinator because he could have done that last year. So I think he stays at least one or two more years. Such a good foundation here, you know. And then, you know, he may take off for a mid-major, a low major job, whatever.
He has not been linked to any job in FSU, though.
Yeah, but he was on he was on the Clay Travis show this week. You know, when he was asked, you know, about it, he said, "No, you know, no one's contacting me, but you know, if somebody does, I'll have to listen because, you know, I'll listen to anything." So it was kind of set a lot of fire alarms, you know, in the Liberty.
Ding, 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 ding.
You know, you know, celebrity University fans, you know, are like, uh-oh, you know. We were hoping to keep him for a while. They kind of just sent the signal, you know, letting everybody know, you know, I'm here around here, but I may not be here very long.
Yeah, he should, like, at least stay for two seasons just to see how it goes. But anyways, the Sportscast 1 on Twitter will be live tweeting a few college football games this weekend. And, of course, we'll have Kyle Borden live tweeting on game day, NFL game day. A lot of big games going on this weekend, and we'll see what happens. But, Ryan Krista, I appreciate you coming on like the Friday edition of the Sportscast.
No problem. Everybody enjoy some football, and I love you, Mindy and Clay.